Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can come into the presence of our Lord on this morning and offer him praise and thanksgiving. And a special welcome to those who are joining us online this morning. It is always a pleasure to welcome you to St. John's. Announcements, as are our custom, were before you as we were gathering this morning, so I hope you had an opportunity to make note of those which are of most importance to you. For all who are interested, the Lenten Bible study for this year is about to begin on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and we are using this little book to guide our meditations this year, Meeting Jesus on the Road. So for those who are interested and who are here this morning, if you speak to me, I have a book for you. For those who aren't interested, I don't have a book for you. We welcome everyone, so please join us on Wednesday evening if you wish. But I do have some copies of the books available so people can begin their preparations. On Wednesday as well, in the morning, Wednesday being Ash Wednesday, we will be joining with our friends from Knox St. Paul's United and Trinity Anglican at Trinity Anglican for a joint Ash Wednesday service. That's Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. And a couple of little important things regarding the annual meeting. The date of the annual meeting has been shifted. You may have noted the slide this morning. We are going to meet for the annual meeting on March the 15th. So make note of that. And if you are a PAD giver, if you use pre-authorized deposit for your givings, we've had a lot of problems with the PAD receipts. There's been a little gremlin in between what we recorded you gave and what you're actually being receipted for. So that's a little discussion we have to deal with our service provider, our software company this week. So if you are a PAD giver, get rid of your the receipt that you have been issued. I guarantee it's wrong, which I hate to say, but it's true. We will be issuing new receipts for PAD givers hopefully before the end of this week, and they will be going out via email for anyone who has email. If you would like a printed version of that instead, let us know at the church office. Just a note, the funeral services for the Reverend Dr. Barry Mack will be held on Saturday, February 28th at 11 a.m. So please plan to be here for that. Cynthia. I didn't forget.
Good morning, everyone. session met virtually on Tuesday, February the 10th, and Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading of Psalm 29, which is a hymn of praise celebrating God's absolute sovereignty, power, and majesty. We have received two positive responses from people nominated for the eldership, and Reverend Adams and I are continuing with our conversations with potential candidates. As Reverend Adams noted, the annual congregational meeting has been postponed from March 1st to March 15th. The reason for this delay is that our financial statements and budget are not yet ready. Reverend Adams also spoke about the PAD. Many of the 2025 tax receipts are incorrect. So as a result, all of the PADs will be reissued. If you do not donate through PAD and have discrepancies on your tax receipts, please contact the office as soon as possible to have yours corrected as well. Session received a thank you note from Reverend Jonathan Dent for the gift of $1,000 from the Agnes Molloy Fund. Susan McDonald reported on behalf of the House Committee that the snow pile was removed from the parking lot, and she thanked Lorraine Construction for paying for the cost of that endeavor. Unfortunately, there is another pile out there already, so we will monitor if it needs removing in the spring. Susan McDonald also reported for the Mission and Outreach Committee. If anyone would like a ride to church, Bob Martin is willing to provide a ride to and from. March has been designated as Send a Kid to Camp Month. Information has been posted on the bulletin board downstairs, and more will be shared on March 8th. And there will be a luncheon on March 22nd for that, so save the date. Reverend Adams presented the worship and music report. A service for the Psalms is being planned for March 15th in the afternoon. The McGaughey Award recipient has been chosen, and he will perform on May 1st, so please save that date too. Session received correspondence from the Presbytery Visioning Committee, including a questionnaire that all congregations are being asked to complete before the end of March. The questionnaire will be sent by email to everyone. Paper copies will be available at the entrances next week. Thank you very much.
I knew there was something I forgot this week. There's been so much stuff this week that just missed completely sailed by. As we enter into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible reminder for us that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his paths. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. The Lord is sovereign. Let the people tremble in awe.
God is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth shake.
The Lord is great in Zion and is high above all peoples. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and worship God upon the holy mountain. Let us pray. God of majesty and might, you have blessed us with revelations of your glory. Give us the gift of faith, that we may hear your voice for ourselves and see Jesus Christ revealed to us, that we may stand on our own without fear. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning's opening hymn is number 298 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screens, Glory Be to God the Father, hymn 298.
Oh,
Standing in the light of Christ, we see the shadows hidden in our hearts. Let us tell the truth about ourselves, trusting in God's grace, that we might receive mercy and be renewed as we come together now, confessing our sins. The prayer of confession is a unison prayer and appears before us on the screens. Magnificent God, we cannot stand before the glory of your presence. You shine with divine light, and we are overwhelmed by your goodness. Lift us in your mercy, release us from our fear, and fill us with your Spirit, that we might reflect your light and share your love, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Friends, the good news of our faith is this. If we call upon God, we will be answered and forgiven. The promise gives us peace and joy. Let us share the peace and joy with one another as we pass now the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with you all. Everybody turn the other way. Good morning. Peace be with you. Shine. think the smallest person in the sanctuary this morning is Laura, and I won't ask her to come forward. But I was thinking this morning, as I was preparing for this morning and our celebration of Transfiguration Sunday, the themes of Transfiguration Sunday all have to do with light. And I was reminded of way back when, about 6 years ago, less a month, when all of a sudden everybody stopped coming to church except for Dan and me, as part of our COVID precautions. And one of the nice parts about that, it was nice not having you here. One of the nice parts about that was it kind of changed the patterns of a Sunday morning for us who work in ministry in Sunday mornings. Often we're very, very busy making sure that the choir is well rehearsed or that everything is right at the sound desk, and goodness only knows there was a lot of stress around images and sound at the time. Of COVID was because everything was dependent upon our technical support. But it also gave the minister just a little bit more time to wander around the church on a Sunday morning and actually pay attention to things. I pay attention to people these days, but back then I just got to pay attention to things. And one of the things that I noticed during that time was our window at the top here over here on the left-hand side, the center window. So for everybody who sat up front this morning, I apologize. I usually want you to sit up front, but you're going to crane your necks this morning. The image, a famous image of Christ knocking at the door. Now, it's not the Christ or the door that I started to notice in our time roaming around the building, but it was the lantern. And it's not quite there this morning, but keep an eye on the lantern, because there is a certain point in the year, or maybe it's, just give me a second. Maybe all y'all have a better view back here. Yeah, right there. So you folks are in the perfect seat. I'm out of the camera shot. But cruising through the church on a Sunday morning, preparing for things, as I often did during those times, and there was no one here, I got to look around a little bit more. And from right about where I was, Karen just about has the perfect seat this morning, because she gets the light in the candle, or the light in the lantern, but not blinded by the light coming through the rest. There is a spot in the sanctuary about midway back. Check next week. You'll all want to sit in the middle next week, so you can just look for that. Where the light that shines out of that lantern is just radiates. It's an amazing thing. I was thinking about that because, you know, we're talking this morning about glory and holiness. And how do we experience glory and holiness? We acknowledge as human beings that our understanding of God is limited, and our ability to describe God and God's holiness and God's glory is limited. And so sometimes we turn to the arts, music, visual arts, paintings, or in this case, a stained glass window, and those in some way help us to understand more fully the wonder and the glory of God. And that lantern light, as you're moving through the building from time to time, is one of those things that just causes you to pause and stop for a minute and look and think how wonderful that is and how it moves beyond just the mere flatness of a two-dimensional image and brings life to our faith. So as you're moving around the building, maybe at the end of worship, if I don't preach long enough that the sun has moved too far to the west, you may move around the building and look for the light that we find in Jesus' lantern. That was my time that I wanted to share with the children this morning. Let us pray. God of shining splendor. Your voice makes the earth tremble in wonder. Overshadow us with your spirit so that we may hear your word and live as faithful disciples and covenant people. We pray all of these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Our first reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up onto the mountain of God. To the elders, he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The gospel reading this morning is from Matthew. Excuse me. Chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
Our responsive reading for this morning is taken from Psalm 99, and this morning's psalm is going to be just a little bit different. As we spend a whole year in the Psalms, we've got to find some novel things to do from time to time, or they're going to all kind of just seem the same. Back a number of years ago, about 25 now, or 20, 28, when the new Book of Praise came out, another companion volume was released at the same time. It was a book of psalms, with the psalms variously set to with refrains in them or set with tunes so that they could be chanted in worship. And this morning we're going to use one of the psalm, the version of Psalm 99 as it has been given to us in the Psalter from 1997. And so we need to sing a refrain. If Roy could move to the next slide, the refrain you're going to sing several times through the psalm is this one. Olivia's going to play it through once, so you have the words there and you can kind of fit them together in your mind, and then we will sing it through once as we move into the Psalms, and there's also responsive bits for you as well. Holy, 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 hear the hymn ascending. Angels, saints, their voices blending. The Lord reigns. The Lord is king. Let the people tremble.
The Lord is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion, exalted over all the people. Let them praise your great and awesome name.
Holy is the Lord.
He holy, holy.
Mighty ruler, lover of justice, you have established equity.
You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Extol the Lord our God. Worship at God's footstool.
Holy is the Lord.
Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called on God's name.
They cried to the Lord, and he answered them.
The Lord spoke to them in the pillar of cloud.
They kept his decrees and the statutes that he gave them.
O Lord, our God, you answered them.
You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings.
Extol the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord is our God is holy. And our epistle lesson for this morning is taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. Let us listen for God's word as it is given in 2 Peter chapter 1 and beginning at the 16th verse. Peter writes, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard the voice come from heaven while we were with him on that holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a question that lingers throughout all of history. Who was Jesus of Nazareth? And is he truly the Son of God? If you think about it, it's an immense claim to make that one would be the Son of God, and it is a claim that ripples throughout the writings of the New Testament on the lips of potential detractors as well as potential disciples of Jesus in the gospel. And throughout the epistles that follow, such as this morning's reading from 2 Peter, which began with those words, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses to his majesty." And it is the question that every believer has to answer down through the ages. Whether they were witnesses of Jesus' majesty themselves or had received the testimony of those who were, or those of us who stand in that long line of those who have heard the promises of Scripture and found them to be true in our souls, or those who have had some encounter with the risen Lord, just as the disciples in the upper room on that first Easter, and who have found that Jesus has spoken into the depth of their sorrow and their pain, and he has filled it with the light of his love. Today, our scripture passages are all about light, and not just any light, but the light of the Lord, which burns brighter than anything that we can imagine. Such is the nature of our God that it dazzles us with its brilliance and changes our very being. These images that describe this moment of divine inbreaking on the mountain where Jesus met with his three disciples and there had the vision of Moses and Elijah. This vision harkens back to the images from the Hebrew scriptures of Moses meeting with God on God's holy mountain, of God's presence dwelling in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem, the very footstool of God's throne room in heaven. The great tradition of faith, of the faith of the children of God, is summarized in this progression that we hear this morning in Psalm 99. Unless we believe that these were individual or unique occurrences that happened, this rehearsal of the history of their faith is our assurance that it is indeed one God of glory who knits together this whole great history of salvation. And as we draw these images of life and holiness across the divide of the Old Testament into the New, we are also reminded that this Jesus of Nazareth who has come into the world stands in that same history of salvation. The tradition of the law given on Sinai to Moses, the temple tradition in Zion, where kings and prophets wrestled to bear forth the righteousness of God, whose footstool was the ark of the tabernacle. And here, in this story that we read this morning from Matthew's gospel, where we are assured that God continues to be present with God's people in and through his beloved Son. Each image fit together to testify that Jesus Christ is our God. Holy is he. But what does that declaration of holiness mean? The refrain of our psalm for this morning. In their commentary on the book of Psalms, Walter Brueggemann and William Bellinger have written the following. The Hebrew notion of holiness has to do with being set apart. Yahweh is set apart in the sense of being incomparable, different, unlike any other. This God, however, is not set apart from the world, but rather is set apart to the world. Yahweh relates to the world unlike any other divine king. In turn, ancient Israel is called to be holy and set apart to Yahweh. Holiness is thus not a separate stance, but a relational stance. Yahweh relates to the world in a distinct way, and Israel is called to reflect that stance. It's a long quotation, I didn't know that, but I like it. I like that. I like it a lot. The Lord God of the Hebrew Scriptures is not set apart from the world, but is set apart to our world. In Christ, we see this holiness of God then on full display as Christ comes to the world, that all the justice and compassion of God can be fully seen and experienced in Christ's dealings with those with whom he comes into contact. That's why we love the stories of the gospel so much. Because it is, in a very real way, a God being present and relating to others in a way that is so different from any other relationship that we experience in our lives. Psalm 99 belongs to this collection of psalms that is known as enthronement psalms, psalms that were used at the time of the coronation of the kings of Israel or in celebration of the nation. And while they acknowledge the power and the prominence of the king, they also remind us that ultimately it is God who is king over all, and that no earthly power exists apart from the power that has been given to it by God. And that is no more true than in those kings of the Davidic line, the kings that ruled over Israel and Judah. But that God might be known among his people and his justice rightly administered, kings were thus appointed to serve God. This God is not set apart from the world, but rather set apart to the world. Holiness is thus not a separate stance, but a relational stance. Through the law and the temple, in the kings and the prophets, and in the person of Jesus Christ, God comes near to us. And as Christ gave his life for this world and ascended into heaven to sit beside the throne of God and to intercede for us on our behalf, that connection, that relationship between us and the divine still exists. And it is still near to us as it is to God. And as we gather at the table this morning, once more we are reminded that God is here. As we read in Psalm 99, let them praise your great and awesome name. God, holy is he, mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Extol the Lord your God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. We come today to tell of the goodness of our God, as at this table we celebrate the holiness of God, that Jesus Christ has been set apart to the world, that we might know that God in all of God's holiness, and that God might know us in all of our need. we continue to worship the God, the one who sits between the cherubim, the one who sits at the very heart of the tradition of worship, and yet who is right here in the midst of us today. Therefore, let them praise your great and awesome name, O Lord, for holy is he. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, our God has revealed to us a law and a love that leads us into becoming God's own daughters and sons. Therefore, let us gratefully give from that which has first been given to us, from our lives, our talents, and our possessions, that God may be honored in all things. Our tithes and our offerings will now be received. Let us pray. God of mountaintops and valleys, should our vision of you be clouded or brilliantly clear, we faithfully add our gifts to those being given all around us. Bless these offerings, that they may be transfigured into your presence in our world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I would invite the congregation to remain standing that we might say together the Apostles' Creed this morning. The Apostles' Creed is found on page 539 in the Book of Praise, or as it will appear before you on the screens. We join our voices with the Church of Jesus Christ across all time and place as we say these words together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, the table of bread and wine is now made ready. It is the table of the company of our Lord Jesus Christ and of all who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith and you who would like to have more. You who have been here often and you who have not been here for a long time. You who have tried to follow Jesus and you who have failed. Come, it is our Lord Jesus Christ who invites us to meet him here. Let us turn in praise as we sing the communion hymn 474, The Love of God Comes Close, hymn 474.
Oh,
Please be seated. Friends, hear the word of institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. With thanksgiving, let us offer God our grateful praise as we come now in prayer. The great prayer of thanksgiving has responses, and you are invited to join as appropriately. They will appear on the screens, and the prayer guide for the prayer is also found on page 564 in the Book of Praise, should you choose. The Lord be with you.
And with you also.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Mighty God of Moses and Elijah, you come to us in a whirlwind of mystery, a swirling tempest, a devouring fire. Yet you come to us speaking faithfulness and mercy, shining light in our darkness, offering forgiveness for our sin. Therefore, we praise you, joining the hymn of the six-winged seraph who cover their faces as they sing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." We give you thanks, O God, for Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, shining at the dawn of creation, shining in our hearts this day, with a splendor that overshadows all the beauty of heaven and earth. In his face, we have seen your glory. Through his words, we have heard your truth. By his living and dying and rising again, we have come to know the height and breadth and depth of your great love. With thanksgiving, we remember the bread of life, taken, blessed, broken, and given, that we might be holy and whole. With thanksgiving, we remember the cup of salvation, your new covenant of grace poured out in love for the world. Remembering your faithfulness and mercy, as we share this bread and cup, we offer ourselves in your service through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we proclaim the great mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Now let us share in your Holy Spirit poured out in this place for these people, upon this bread and cup. By your Spirit, make us one people, one in the promises of Moses, one in the prophecy of Elijah, as we seek to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord to the world. Let our lives shine with Christ's light, a blessing of joy to the living, a beacon of hope to the dying, the dawning of a new creation to all. All of this we pray to you, O Almighty God, through the gift of your Holy Spirit in the grace of your word made flesh. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. And now, as Christ has taught us, so we continue in prayer in the manner that he taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us your peace. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, on the night of light of the world, you have met us and fed us with this bread and this cup. As our bodies are nourished with food, so too may our spirits be nourished by your presence. Transform our lives, that we may be your body and blood in the world, life and light and love for all people. Amen. This morning's closing praise is the hymn Majesty, and the words to the hymn will appear before us on the screen. Friends, Christ has been revealed to us that we might follow him and transform the world. Let us therefore go in love and work for peace. And may the self-revealing God be a lamp to your way as the day dawns and rises within you, now and always. Amen.
Peace of the universe be with you.